Everybody, Andy here again with another musical boo today because a couple of things that have happened recently. The other day it was announced that the American group The White Stripes had finally disbanded, split up, whichever way you want to put it. And for a lot of people this wasn't too much of a surprise because they haven't really done anything for a number of years and most people had presumed that they pretty much split up and had given up recording anyway. But one of those things that came out of that, so many people thought, whether you know the band or whether what you think of the band particularly, they were thought of as being a sort of a very, very good band held in high regard. They sort of stripped the music back with just basically a guitar. I think they occasionally had some keyboards, piano, and a drummer, and that was it. So it was fairly basic stuff, quite basic in the style of music, sort of bluesy type of thing as well. And very, as I said, very highly regarded, very highly thought of, especially amongst music critics and people like that. Yes, they had their success as well. But I happened to think about it today. I was reading something in the newspaper, just happened to mention it, and I just tweeted, as you do. I thought, well, yeah, you know, the White Stripes are split up. Now, am I alone in thinking that I wasn't actually ever particularly impressed by that band? I was never taken in by the hype particularly. Yes, there were some of their songs that I liked. In fact, some of their very early songs I really liked. I Fell in Love with a Girl, I think it's Hotel Yorba, I think it's the way you pronounce it. I can remember playing those on the radio when they were new songs and thinking, yeah, that's quite good, that's quite refreshing. But I think it died out for me, the novelty value died off, and I just didn't see them to be as great, as pioneering as maybe other people thought they were. And I happened to put that tweet out there, and it attracted a fair amount of attention, and everybody broadly was in agreement with me, saying the same things. They felt that they were overrated. So what I did, I thought, okay, yeah, fine, it's nice to have people agree with you as well and know that you're not alone in some of your thoughts. It's something to be wary about putting these things out there. You know, it's that the emperor's new clothes type of thing. Everybody's saying how good this band are. And you think, well, actually, I'm not too sure about this. I'm not, you know, not that sure that they were that great. So hence the tweet. So I happened to put out, well, I've got another couple of bands for you that I feel also were overrated. Influential, yes, but overrated. One of them was the Stone Roses from Britain, and the other was Nirvana. You know, Kurt Cobain, Dave Grohl, Chris Novoselic, I think his name was. The other one, yeah, that's the one, the bass player. And yes, once again, both of those bands, some of their music I do quite like, Nirvana especially. So Smells Like Teen Spirit, the classic single, there's, to me, is one of the most exciting rock and roll records ever made. But their first album, yes, it's not a bad album, there's some very good songs on it, but apart from sort of about three or four songs, I don't think that they're as good as they are once again held up to be. Yes, they were influential in as much as that they changed music in a way and allowed a sort of a punky sort of element to come back after everyone had sort of, as someone pointed out, was wearing spandex trousers in the 80s and all that sort of overblown stuff that came along. Maybe it needed someone like Nirvana to kick things in the teeth a little bit. And I take that on board, fair enough. So as I said, they were influential. But I don't think they were as great a band, and Kurt Cobain wasn't as great a songwriter, in my humble opinion, as so many other people seem to think they are. And I will argue that point quite vehemently, as I am now, I suppose. And the Stone Roses, once again, some of their first album, I actually quite liked some of the songs on there, but some of the songs, they are one of those bands that people hold up their first album to be one of the greatest albums ever made, and to me, definitely not. Yes, as I said, there are some good tracks on there. There might be even a couple of great tracks on there. But some of that album, to me, is pretty diabolical. Backwards tracks and things like that. And yes, as someone else once again pointed out to me in a comment, agreeing with my points about them, they came out of that sort of drug-fueled ecstasy sort of type of happy stuff that went on from Manchester and the dance music craze. It's all sort of attached to that. Maybe you had to be there. Maybe you had to be under the influence of certain substances or something to really get it. I don't know. But when you're sitting there listening to it, you know, quite straight at home on the computer, on the CD player as well. And you think, well, that's some good stuff, but it's not that good, is it? But it's still held out there. Once again, I think they're another one of those Emperor's New Clothes. I will mention one other, actually. I think it's something like the 25th anniversary, or maybe even the 30th anniversary, I don't know, since Primal Scream brought out their Screamadelica album. Once again, it was around that time of the Stone Roses, the ecstasy-fueled, happy-clappy stuff that was going on, and the dance revolution and things. And once again, it's supposed to be one of the greatest albums ever made, and they're doing a tour where they're promoting it and playing it, you know, from start to finish again. I happen to have that album, and I played it the other day. I love the track Moving On Up, and there's a couple of other tracks on there which aren't bad, but the rest of it I find pretty impenetrable now, whether it's like some of those early 60s albums or the stuff from the 60s, like Pet Sounds being another one, a classic example. I wasn't there, so I don't really get it. The Primal Scream, I was there. I wasn't in a drug-fueled haze, but I was around listening to that music. I didn't really get it then, and I still don't get it now. But once again, maybe you have to be in a certain frame of mind in a sweaty club with lots of other people dancing along, a lot of dance music. I think you have to be there. It has to be loud, it has to be sweaty, etc. And that's when the groove or whatever hits you. So there you go, lots of those people who could be stood up. I'd love to hear other people's ideas of those sort of Emperor's New Clothes type of bands, all those people that are held up in high regard. And you think, well, actually, I just don't get it, you know. We all have our own individual tastes. I totally accept that. But I do think so often people get caught up in the hype, and they get caught up in more or less being told the sort of thing that they should like. Just because it's a band's got critical acclaim doesn't mean that they're good, doesn't mean that they're great. Someone can shout as much as they like me or a music critic or anyone else and tell you how great a band is, but you have to form your own opinion of that. Go away, listen to the record in a darkened room or whatever. Do it under no the influence of any sort of substances or alcohol or anything like that. And listen to it in the cold light of day and see what it really sounds like. Then you can make up your own mind. And if you don't like it, stand up and shout it from the rooftops if you want. We don't want everything to be the same. We all like to be a little bit different sometimes. And that's one way of doing it. Anyway, I'm going to leave it there. Thanks for your time. I'll speak to you again soon. Goodbye.